We should measure the success of our economy by the breadth of our middle class and the scope of opportunity offered to the poorest child to climb into that middle class. John Sweeney, AFL-CIO President, 1995-2009. I'm Kevin Cook, and this week in labor history. July 14th, 1877, the Great Uprising. Nationwide railway strike begins in Martinsburg, West Virginia, after railroad workers are hit with their second pay cut in a year, even while profits were high. In the following days, the strike spread through 17 states. The next week, federal troops were called out to force the workers back to work and end the strike. 1912. American icon, champion of the working class, singer-songwriter Woody Guthrie is born. Guthrie wrote thousands of songs, including This Land Is Your Land and Union Made, and Old Man Trump, a song about how Donald Trump's father, Fred Trump, used greed and racism to build his massive fortune. July 15th, 1917. 50,000 lumberjacks strike for the 8-hour day in the Pacific Northwest, led by IWW and the AFL. In 1967, Butte, Montana, start of the longest strike in Butte's history of the Butte Miners Union No. 1. The strike would last 8.5 months. Friday, July 16, 1877, during the Great Upheaval of 1877, a general strike that started in West Virginia halted the railroads and spread across the U.S. Workers clashed with police, militia, and federal troops, resulting in large riots. In Chicago, federal troops recently returned from an Indian massacre murdered 30 unarmed workers and wounded over 100. The U.S. was in a major depression following years of greed, corruption, and wealth accumulation by a group of young capitalists that included J.P. Morgan, Andrew Carnegie, Leland Stanford, and John Rockefeller. There were a few successful unions in those days, and none were sanctioned by the government, making them all illegal. In 1986, Butte, Montana, open-pit mining resumes with 188 non-union workers offering profit-sharing instead of unionized workforce. Profit-sharing encourages employees to join the company in lobbying against all environmental regulations, any tax increases, or anything that would affect the company profits, including hiring more employees. July 17th. In 1913, beginning of Seattle's potlatch riots, in which soldiers and sailors attacked members of the IWW. Alden Blethyn, publisher of the Seattle Times, who was anti-free speech, claimed radical elements had been fanning the flames of the workers and must be stopped. He was highly critical of Liberal Mayor Cotterill for allowing IWW union organizers to speak in public. Blethyn's open red baiting incited violence when soldiers and sailors ransacked the IWW union headquarters. The attacks were part of an attempt to suppress free speech and labor organizing, and were a harbinger to the nationwide Red Scare leading up to and during World War I. 1917, the Justice Department instructs its attorneys and special agents to keep tabs on IWW union members, ascertain their plans, sources of income, and find any data that might link them to pro-German activity. No incriminating evidence was ever found. July 18, 1917, Butte, Montana, Frank Little, a frail, one-eyed former miner nursing a recently broken leg, rides into town. Looks were deceiving, for Little was a fiery union organizer who would inspire his fellow men and infuse the striking Butte miners with the passion of the IWW. The mine owners will soon have him brutally murdered to protect their profits, low wages, and deadly working conditions. Copper prices and company profits were extremely high because of the war, while miners' wages had not gone up at all since the late 1800s. 1969, hospital workers win 113-day union recognition strike in Charleston, South Carolina. July 19th, 1848, Women's Rights Convention opens in Seneca Falls, New York. Delegates adopt a declaration of women's rights and calls for women's suffrage. In 1883, Brotherhood of Telegraphers, KOL, District Assembly 45, strike the Western Union Telegraph Company. July 20th, 1877, Maryland State Militia protecting low wages, deadly working conditions, and the profits of the greedy capitalists fired on unarmed striking railroad workers in Baltimore, murdering 50. 1934, police protecting company profits and free market capitalism shoot peaceful picketing strikers during the Minneapolis Teamsters strike without provocation, murdering 2 and wounding 67 more in what would become known as Bloody Friday. This Week in Labor History is compiled by Kevin D. Curtis. For KBMF, I'm Kevin Cook. Good day.